Stephen Farry, who's part of the Alliance Party's negotiation team, is on the line as well. You know, you listen to Enda there, and already you can hear the kind of conversation that could come out of James Brookenshire's mouth on Thursday, in which he says, we're so close, we just need to give it a bit of extra time.
Well, good morning, Chris. Well, I think if we find ourselves in that situation, I think the people of Northern Ireland and elsewhere will be ripping their hair out. I mean, I think people will see the process as being farcical. There is work that needs to be done over the next 48 hours for sure. And I mean, time does need to be focused in that particular respect. But we have been discussing these issues round and round in circles for the past 6 months or indeed longer in some cases. So the issue isn't whether people need an extra week or an extra month. The issue is whether people are actually willing to make the compromises necessary, the decisions necessary to actually restore and to sustain devolution and get on and doing the job that we were given by the electorate back at the last Assembly election.
Well, if they don't meet the deadline, what is it your understanding will happen?
Well, if we don't meet the deadline, and the deadline is actually set in legislation, so in that event, it falls back to the Secretary of State to call another Assembly election. Now, he will have some discretion in terms...
Maybe that's him.
He may have some discretion in terms as to exactly when that election would be called. Or he could go back to Parliament and ask for another extension or another deadline in terms of the talks.
So in reality, this is potentially another deadline without consequences.
Well, or he could actually say, look, I mean, this isn't working. We need a different approach. The two largest parties are incapable of actually making the compromises necessary. We need a fundamental rethink. We also have to recognise that we are leaving a vacuum in terms of governance. I mean, this is the first time, I think, in the entire history of the Northern Ireland state where there has not been any political authority in charge of local matters, whether through direct rural ministers or through local ministers. There's a massive backlog of decisions that are piling up. We're seeing a large degree of uncertainty in key public services. So after Thursday, if it's not a deal, someone needs to step in and actually take those decisions for better or worse, because we can't continue to drift like this.
Okay, well, let's see where you stand on some of these issues. Do you think it's reasonable for Sinn Féin at this stage to say that Arlene Foster should step aside?
No. Back in December, we were very clear that in a normal democracy where accountability is very much embedded, a minister with that degree of allegations against him or her would step aside. I was distressed they were allegations at the time, but that's what would happen elsewhere.
But they still are allegations.
Yeah, absolutely. The situation has moved on substantially now. I mean, back in December, we were talking about a situation where we had a functioning executive and assembly. We're now in the context where we don't.
But the position hasn't changed. The allegations remain the same.
The allegations remain the same, but what is at stake at this stage, Chris, is far bigger than one individual personality. This has to be about the policies of the executive and the processes of the executive. Yes, there are issues there where, ideally, yes, she would voluntarily step aside, but if we're in a situation where people are making that a red line, then I think we're fundamentally missing the bigger picture.
So basically, she should step aside, but actually it doesn't really matter.
Well, she should step aside, but we can't make her step aside if that's the approach that she is determined to take in that regard. But what I'm saying is that there's far, far more at stake in terms of people's lives, how long people are sitting on waiting lists, what's happening in schools, the problems around special educational needs. I mean, the list of issues is as long as your arm. And frankly,
pushing for her to step aside seems to have been a bit of a mistake then, because you've had an expensive election that's taken money away from those issues. You've had five months of going nowhere.
Well, we didn't bring the Assembly down. We were perfectly content for the Assembly to continue.
But you were pushing for her to go, which the DUP were refusing.
In the context of a functioning Assembly, it was perfectly within the rights of Assembly members to say that she should voluntarily go, and there was then a mechanism for her to be excluded from office. That motion was put to the Assembly. It was unsuccessful due to the votes of DUP, and that was the end of the matter in that particular regard. It wasn't ideal. It's not a good advertisement for accountability in Northern Ireland. But as I say, Chris, we are where we are, and the issues now are far, far bigger than one individual.
Stephen, you're always a man with a good insight into the negotiations. What is your feeling at this stage? Doug Beattie was saying that he feels the roundtable talks have been pushed back to 2 o'clock because the DUP and Sinn Féin may well be discussing something and trying to dot I's and cross T's. What's your feeling?
That may well be the case. Equally, it could be a situation where they haven't made sufficient progress on the core issues, and in that sense, the clock is running out on this deadline in terms of Thursday. It's important to see this in two particular phases. I mean, first of all, I mean, there are two parties that are, under the current rules, essential for the maintenance of devolution. In terms of the Mandatory Coalition, both DUP and Sinn Féin are required to form a government, so they have issues to sort of out amongst themselves. And then there's three other parties, including Alliance, potentially, who may form part of an executive. And we need to be able to ensure that issues of importance to us are reflected in terms of any emerging agreement.
But I hate to say this, and with the greatest of respect, I'm not saying this in any other way, but it's the DUP and Sinn Féin that matter in this. The three other parties don't.
Well, and that's what, in some senses, Chris, I've tried to reflect. I mean, this is a two-way process. I mean, first of all, yes, I mean, I'm realistic enough to know that there are issues that both the DUP and Sinn Féin between them need to square off if both of them are to be the core of a new administration. And, I mean, an executive can be formed without Alliance, without the SDLP. But the second tier of issues is if we are to have that inclusive executive, which frankly will bring more stability, which will be more sustainable, then there are issues then that need to be talked through. And the longer things are stuck in the DUP Sinn Féin process, then the opportunity to get those other issues bottomed out, which are in many ways actually very important to the electorate because they're around a lot of the policy issues that we're going to see over the next number of months. The opportunity to get those properly sorted out is going to be diminished, and that may well be consequences that flow from that.